There are millions of grandparents experiencing this, and we need help and we need support.
And we have an unemployment rate that has been lower than the national average for more than 50 consecutive months straight.
Property tax dollars fund our local schools, police, firefighters, sanitation workers, and all the other things our local governments do every day.
From the fourth floor of the Capitol Rotunda, you're listening to WFSU Public Media's Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Tom Flanagan.
Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following. Rambana and Ritchie, immigration attorneys concentrating on complex immigration across the nation from Florida's capital and their mobile office. Self-sponsored green cards, I-9 compliance, and deportation defense. Rambana and Ritchie, on the web at rambana.com.
This is Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Tom Flanagan. Among today's Capitol action, while lawmakers spent the morning announcing their legislative priorities to kick off Florida's legislative session, Adrian Andrews was strolling the halls of the state capitol talking to everyday citizens about what they hope to see lawmakers accomplish this year.
The security line at the state capitol building sounds something like a busy airport. Inside the building is full of news crews and lobbyists moving floor to floor looking for lawmakers to discuss the day's events. Sarah McLeod works with Florida Cares Charity. She found a spot on the third floor where she's showcasing some artwork made by people who are incarcerated.
Bring to light the talent that hides behind the fences of DOC.
It's McLeod's hope that the legislature will pass a criminal reform measure that aims to give certain inmates, particularly ones serving longer prison sentences for nonviolent crimes, parole.
They could be beneficial to society. They could bring beauty into society if given the chance.
Melanie Lee, another Florida resident, says her visit to the Capitol is personal. She says she's been kept out of the life of her two grandchildren since the time they were born. And with her grandson turning 3 in July and a granddaughter turning 1 in May, Lee is now advocating for legislation to protect against what she calls grandparent alienation.
It's dangerous. It's life-altering. And there are millions of grandparents experiencing this, and we need help and we need support.
And Lee's efforts could have an impact. There are some bills filed this session addressing grandparent visitation rights. I'm Adrian Andrews.
Following long-standing tradition, as well as the state constitution, Governor Ron DeSantis gave his 7th State of the State address on the opening day of session before a joint meeting of the Florida legislature.
Now we are convening for the regular legislative session, having already enacted groundbreaking legislation to fulfill the historic mandate of delivering on President Donald Trump's mandate to end the illegal immigration crisis once and for all.
The governor there referring to the action taken during the special session he called to happen last month when the legislature rejected DeSantis's immigration plan in favor of President Trump's. This was the first sign that the new legislative leadership would likely be far less agreeable to the governor's wishes than its predecessor. Still, the governor tried to keep his message positive. He touted the state's great performing economy.
For the past 2 years, Florida's economy has ranked number one in these United States. We rank number one in entrepreneurship, number one in new business formations, number one in GDP growth amongst large states, and we have an unemployment rate that has been lower than the national average for more than 50 consecutive months straight.
He praised the record numbers racked up by the state's largest economic driver.
We continue to set tourism records. 2024 saw more than 142 million visitors come to the state of Florida. This includes 3.3 million visitors from Canada. That's not much of a boycott in my book.
Of course, those Canadian visitor numbers came in before the 25% tariff on Canadian imports kicked in at midnight. Despite all the recent hand-wringing over Florida's property insurance crisis, Governor DeSantis insisted there was good reason for optimism.
Last year, believe it or not, S&P Global rated Florida as having the lowest increases amongst all 50 states. We were also recently able to announce that in 2025, 73% of Citizens Property Insurance homeowners in Miami-Dade County are scheduled to receive a decrease on average of 6.3%.
Still, there are lots of insurance-related measures being teed up at the Capitol, including some that might reverse some of the breaks the insurance industry got from lawmakers in past sessions. DeSantis had good things to say about the plethora of so-called sales tax holidays lawmakers have passed.
We've enacted billions of dollars in tax relief over the past 6 years. We must continue to be a friend to the taxpayer.
To that end, DeSantis is proposing a few new tax holidays, one on marine fuel and another suspending state sales tax on guns and ammo for the entire summer. There's also the matter of the legislature taking at least an initial look at slashing property taxes in favor of a state sales tax. As he's done in several proceedings, stated the state speeches, DeSantis called for more money for teachers.
I'm again recommending an increase in money that's dedicated to increasing teacher salaries, as well as a continuation of the Civics Bonus Program that gives a $3,000 bonus to all teachers that complete our Civic Seal of Excellence training course.
And since Florida's First Lady Casey DeSantis is a possible candidate to succeed her husband in 2028, the gov included a gracious shout-out to one of her pet initiatives.
Hope Florida was designed by our First Lady, Casey DeSantis, to transform the way government agencies provided services to our fellow citizens in need. Rather than perpetuate dependence on a great society-style bureaucracy, Hope Florida seeks to use government to connect individuals and families to more than 5,600 faith-based community and private sector partners.
There were plenty of applause lines in DeSantis's address, but the loudest and longest applause came when he saluted a Florida Highway Patrol officer who saved a drowning dog along I-75 during Hurricane Milton.
Florida Highway Patrol Trooper Orlando Morales rescued the dog as water was rising to the dog's neck. The dog has been renamed Trooper and is now in a safe and loving home. Trooper Morales, stand up because we would like to thank you for rescuing that great dog.
As the Republican supermajority celebrates opening day of Florida's lawmaking session, Democratic lawmakers can't do much more than watch and try to point out the weak spots in the GOP's arguments. We get more on that story from Margie Menzel.
In his State of the State speech, Governor Ron DeSantis called for more tax relief. He said that while property values have surged in recent years, this has come at a cost to taxpayers, who he described as, quote, squeezed by local government property taxes. And DeSantis recently said he'd support eliminating property taxes, which would make Florida the first state to do so. Lawmakers have a bill this session that would launch a study looking into the proposal. In her response to the governor's speech, House Minority Leader Fentress Driscoll, a Tampa Democrat, went straight after that suggestion.
Another of DeSantis's recent schemes is to talk about ending property taxes. Unfortunately, he conveniently fails to explain how our communities would be harmed as a consequence. He wants the headlines and attention, but he doesn't mention that property tax dollars fund our local schools, police, firefighters, sanitation workers, and all the other things our local governments do every day.
Driscoll says if the state cuts property taxes, the fallout will be on the shoulders of local government.
And if these communities needed to fire your kid's teacher, or the officers that patrol your neighborhood, or the closest fire station to your house, well, that's not his fault. By the time that happens, he'll have moved on to another culture war to distract us from a simple truth. He has no plans to make your life better.
Senate Democratic leader Jason Pizzo of Hollywood says he doesn't want to engage in so-called culture war issues. He says those won't lower property insurance or your rent.
Nor will they result in your kids' GPAs getting higher or their test scores going higher. And like many of you, I've wondered how, with more than 30 years of majority control in the legislature and executive branches, how any of these issues were so insidious that they festered into such an instant concern, or rather, How did a generation of Republican predecessors allow us to get to this place?
More important, Pizzo says, are questions like, what is the legislature doing about failing infrastructure? Or why is the National Guard still filling critical staffing shortages at our state prisons? However, Pizzo says, he's heartened by the leadership of Senate President Ben Albritton and House Speaker Daniel Perez, both Republicans.
But this morning, Senate President Ben Albritton presented an agenda, a legislative agenda, that is robust and real, to feed families, to foster economic growth, to protect our children, our homes, demand efficiencies with your tax dollars, and the right to course the years of neglect and indifference. Speaker Perez expressed much of the same.
If the legislative leaders are focused on kitchen table issues that help Floridians, Pizzo says he's on board.
And so I pledge my absolute commitment that if we can focus on this agenda, there need not be an ideology or even an aisle that divides us.
Democrats have outlined several of their own priorities for the session, many of which don't align with the agenda set out by GOP leaders. I'm Margie Menzel.
Property insurance and careful budgeting are two areas Florida's legislative leaders agree need lawmaker attention. The House Speaker and Senate President made their opening remarks for the first day of the legislative session this morning, but as Tristan Wood reports, the two leaders made little mention of the governor's latest push to crack down on diversity, equity, and inclusion programs.
Reporting from the Tampa Bay Times last month indicates some insurance companies hid profits 2 years ago while claiming to the legislature the industry was losing money. Lawmakers passed insurance reform intended to help prop up what they thought was a flagging industry. Now, House Speaker Daniel Perez is calling for House hearings to get to the bottom of what happened.
We have since learned of reports in existence at the time but not disclosed to the legislature that may suggest some insurance companies were using accounting tricks to hide substantial profits while telling us they were in a crisis. I have asked the Insurance and Banking Subcommittee to conduct hearings, and they will have access to the full range of tools, including issuing subpoenas, putting witnesses under oath, and hiring outside experts.
Senate President Ben Albritton also says he wants to have a firmer hand with insurance companies.
We'll hold insurance companies accountable for the rates they charge and the services they provide when disasters strike. They aren't going to manipulate the system, and neither is any other industry, not on my watch.
In Albritton's speech, he also indirectly addressed Governor Ron DeSantis' calls for a Florida Government Efficiency Task Force, named DOGE, after the federal program. DeSantis wants the group to look into what he believes are hidden diversity, equity, and inclusion programs and government waste in Florida's government agencies and universities. Albritton points out Florida already has a government efficiency task force, but he does say Florida needs to continue to modernize. He highlighted a proposal separate from DeSantis's to accomplish that.
Senator Graw is sponsoring legislation by which all state agencies will be required to complete a 5-year full and complete rule review process. Each agency will review 20% of all rules each year and identify if any changes, amendments, or repeals are necessary. Improved oversight of administrative rules will go a long way toward keeping government more accountable to Floridians. That's the way government is supposed to work in its foundation.
Perez also says he's committed to increased scrutiny, especially when it comes to budgetary spending.
I'm challenging our budget subcommittee chairs to dive into the budget and find real savings in recurring revenue. Members, this money doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the people of Florida.
Neither man directly addressed DeSantis's DOGE ask, and their described policy solutions did not include giving the governor's task force more power to investigate. Instead, the leaders are continuing to assert their independence, a move that started during the immigration special sessions earlier this year. It's a dynamic that's expected to play out through the remainder of the legislative session. I'm Tristan Wood.
Our regular Capitol Report correspondents are Adrian Andrews, Gina Jordan, Regan McCarthy, Margie Menzel, and Tristan Wood. Shows are available Monday through Thursday by 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, wherever you get your podcasts. On many of these Florida public radio stations, you can tune in each Friday to catch the latest on all things going on at the Capitol. That show's also available in podcast form. Technical assistance comes from Taylor Cox. I'm Tom Flanagan. This is Capitol Report, the podcast from WFSU Public Media.
Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following. Rambana and Ritchie, immigration attorneys concentrating on complex immigration across the nation from Florida's capital and their mobile office. Self-sponsored green cards, I-9 compliance, and deportation defense. Rambana and Ritchie, on the web at rambana.com. Capitol Report is a production of WFSU Public Media in Tallahassee.